Thank you, Lord. For those of you that are watching online, we welcome you and say thank you for tuning in. And we believe that you will be blessed tonight, and along with the people that are here tonight. We know the good word of God is always a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the things that somebody told me the other day was that there's really two ways to fix all the problems in life. And they told me this, that if it moves, and it shouldn't, use duct tape. And they said if it moves, if it doesn't move, and it should move, use WD-40. It's all you need to fix all of life's problems. And I thought to myself, if it just was that simple. But you know, it's really not always that simple, is it? Life's problems, we don't intend to get it. Nobody ever intentionally, I don't believe, just says, I'm going to go find me a problem today. I don't believe there's very many people that volunteer, say, okay, I can use a few more problems. And but you know, the challenge is to deal with problems when they come. And I want to speak tonight on a subject that may at first look a little negative, but I want to talk to you tonight about the power to forgive. The power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. There's great power in forgiveness. And Brother Hagin, in listening to his messages, and I heard him when I was in school talk about this, about the lady that came up to him and asked him, why do my husband's family, who aren't very faithful Christians, and they only come to church once in a while, and don't really serve much, but you know, they get healed quicker than almost anybody. When they come for prayer, they receive their healing. They said, now you take my family. Said, we're here every time the doors open. We're here. If something needs to be done, we're jumping right on it. And we're just absolutely, you know, we're right there. But I'll tell you the truth, Brother Hagin, if there's anybody in our family that's ever gotten healed by prayer, through prayer, we don't know it. I don't know it. So why is that, Brother Hagin? And Brother Hagin said, well, without some kind of special revelation, he said, I would say this, quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. And that'll put you in a position to be quick to receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to tell you tonight that forgiveness is one of the great things that Christians get to experience. Because without it, we're going to get into bondage. We're going to get into things that we never intended to do. There's a couple of scriptures I want to look at to begin with tonight. Forgiveness is the question of the ages. I mean, Peter asked the question to Jesus, Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That is the question, isn't it? Up to seven times, and can you hear the tone of voice? He's probably thought he was thinking big. Anybody ever realize that? Think about it. And Jesus, verse 22, said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And how many of you know Peter's mind just got greatly expanded? And so we pick up kind of the same thing and idea in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. We look at this and we'll read down through verse 5. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Verse 5. Get this. And the apostle said, increase our faith. Isn't that funny? You know, God, I help me to believe that. Help me to wrap my mind around that. Help me to accept that truth, that it would be possible in my heart. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm thinking seven's a big number, Peter thinks. And now he's talking 490, and he's trying to get a grip on that. Increase my faith, Lord, so I can believe for 490 times and not just seven. And so we see that forgiveness is a question that a lot of people have. Forgiveness is also mentioned in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And that verse says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So it's a real basic truth of Christianity is that we need to forgive even as he has forgiven us. And then forgiveness is necessary in the operation of faith. We see that in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. It says here, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And we like that verse, but we need to like the next verse too. "And whenever you stand praying," or you could say it this way, "whenever you're doing verse 24, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So we see that forgiveness is absolutely necessary for us in order to function in the kingdom of God, to be able to be productive, to be able to experience the life that God has for us. Dr. David Siemens made a statement, and I find it to be more true as I continue to watch this. He said that almost all emotional problems come from not giving forgiveness or not getting forgiveness. The real truth of the matter is that forgiveness is one of the bedrock things that you and I need in our life. We need it from others, and they need it from us. But you know, you need, you, as we're going to find out here in a moment, you need to do it for your own self, for your own good. And we'll talk about that. There was a lady named Ruth, she's gone to heaven now, called me up one day. Her husband and I had a business together, and she was mad. I could tell she was mad because she was using words that weren't Christian. She was cussing. And so I tried to talk to her, and she just kept going, and so I hung up on her. And so then I called her back, and before she could say much of anything, I said, "Now, Ruth," I said, "we're both Christians." And I said, "We ought to be able to talk about this like Christians should. What is it that's your, what is the problem that you see?" And it had to do with some arrangements that her husband and I had worked out in business, but she wasn't happy with it. And when she got done stating it, it really wasn't much of anything. It was just absolutely a small thing. And it literally didn't cost me anything to do what she asked me to do. And I looked at her, I listened to her, and when she got done, I said, "If that's the way you want it," I said, "I'll do it that way." And then she got suspicious. She said, "Why are you so nice to me?" And I said, "Ma'am, I'm just trying to walk in love." And she had a few more words and hung up. Now, I have to tell you that that's one of my better moments of handling something like that. How many of you got some better moments, and then you got some that you're not going to talk about? And so I felt bad for her. And we believed God, and of course we didn't. We forgot it. Honestly, I forgot it because I forgave her. And 2 years later, we got a phone call, and it's Ruth again. And she's crying. She said, "Brother Marvin, would you forgive me?" She said, "A day hasn't gone by that I hadn't thought about what I said to you." I said, "Ruth, you were forgiven the day you did it." But see, she didn't know it. And she said, "Well," she said, I'm having to make a lot of things right. She said, "I've got cancer. I've got 3 weeks to live. And the doctors told me I got 3 weeks to live, and I need to make this right. I said, ma'am, I said, you are forgiven. I said, from the day that you did it, you were forgiven. I said, there's no problem on my end at all. We pray the best for you. Well, she passed away in the time frame that the doctor said, passed away, went to heaven, and a lot younger than 70 years that the Bible speaks about. I just have to tell you this. My first point to you tonight is this, that unforgiveness is a luxury that none of us can afford. It is a detrimental thing in our life if we let it in there. It blocks God's blessings from coming to us. It binds the unforgiving person to the wrong that has happened to them or what they perceived has happened to them. One of the odd things that I have seen is that the unforgiving person doesn't forget, and the person who did the wrong goes on down the road, sometimes oblivious to what they have done, sometimes forgetting what they have done. At any rate, they get on with their life, and the unforgiving person is left holding the bag, so to speak. And so unforgiveness will bind the wrong that the other person did to your life. Unforgiveness is the bridge by which others' wrongs cross over into your life. It is a bridge. It allows things to come from mom and dad, the wrongs that, you know. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a big believer in blaming mom and dad on everything, okay? But I will say this. I will say this. There are times when it goes back to, well, mom and dad, and now the kids. And I have to tell you, though, that I watch families, and I see where one child is affected by it, and then the next child absolutely is not affected by it. So I know it's not all the parents' fault, because evidently the current generation has a choice to either forgive or not to forgive. And I have to tell you that unforgiveness is the bridge where the wrong of others sometimes spans generations. And so unforgiveness is a big thing. It's a thing that you and I need to make sure that we do not have. We want to make sure we blow that bridge up. Amen? And so it has detrimental effects upon our mind, our emotions, and even our body. Feelings of inferiority and rejection and things of that nature come with that. In other words, that one action spawns many other things, and it causes people to live with emotional problems. It causes people to be stressed out. It causes people to experience shame. Sometimes they get over into pride because their unforgiveness blames the other person and elevates themselves. And so it's just things like this that just happen as the unforgiveness is there. Unforgiveness hinders our relationships with others. It hinders healing from being happening in our bodies. Matter of fact, it opens the door to diseases and things of that nature, sicknesses and things of that nature. And I have to tell you that I had it explained to me this way, that unforgiveness is the silent, invisible killer that resides inside some Christians that look really good on the outside, and there's no clue that there's anything, okay? Good Christians. Because you see, you can't always detect unforgiveness. It's inside. You know what I'm saying? And I have to tell you, listen to me. People, good Christians go to the grave with unforgiveness. They may not, or let's put it this way, unforgiveness sends good Christians to the grave, not because they may be unforgiving at the end, but because in the time of unforgiveness, over a period of time, it's opened the door to detrimental things in their body, and things happen, and healing is not received like they want, and because the relationship with God is not what it could be or should be. And so I have to tell you sometimes that, here's how I say it. Somebody said this, holding unforgiveness towards someone else is like feeding yourself poison and believing the other person will die. And it's absolutely the truth, because you see, when I'm at my worst and unforgiveness and holding it, and I'm right and they're wrong, and they did me wrong and all of that, while that's happening, while I'm doing that, I just have to tell you, they're not being poisoned. I'm poisoning myself. You see, you don't want to do what one person told me, good Christian minister, told me this. He said, when somebody does me wrong, he said, I always get even. And I thought to myself, now, if you really realized what you're saying, even. Okay? Come here, David. Let's demonstrate even. You stay even with me. Okay? If I do something here and you do something back to me, we're on the same level. Okay? If I do something on this level, but you decide, okay, you're not going to stay even with me, you're not going to respond in kind, you're going to do at a different level. You have to do something different than me. Isn't that right? Otherwise, you're still in the same level I am. So if I'm going to do this and you don't want to, you do something different. Getting even is not the objective, should not be the objective of any Christian. When something wrong is done, we should want to do something better. Why would I want to, if something is wrong is done to me, why would I want to sink down to that level and do the same thing? See, that's the question. Give David a big hand. I think he's going to be a preacher. Now, you see, here's what's happening with Christians. They're singing a somebody done me wrong song and trying to get ahead in life at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You're just not going to get ahead by singing somebody done me wrong. Now, how many in this auditorium would lift their hand and say, I could sing that song. I would have a right to sing. I mean, somebody's done me wrong and I could sing the song. But you see, you don't have to sing that song. You don't have to sing that song. You can choose what songs you want to sing. That leads me to my second point, and that is that forgiveness is a gift that we first give to ourselves. We have to realize that forgiveness is a gift we first give to ourselves. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Luke 17, 3, it's very interesting how it starts. How does it start? Take heed to yourselves. In other words, if I'm going to start dealing with the problems, I've got to deal with me first. Okay? What does that mean? Okay, let's talk about forgiveness. How about I forgive instead of waiting for the other person? And you know, there's several people to forgive in most cases. There's the other person, the one that did you wrong. But how many of you have ever gone home kicking yourself, beating yourself up for letting yourself get taken advantage of like that? And you're just like pounding the steering wheel or you're shaking your head and saying, you dummy. and you're just really letting yourself have it. But see, there's another person that you need to forgive, and that's yourself. Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I forgive you? That is probably not a great moment for many people because, first of all, they don't like who they see in the mirror anyway. And so we need to realize then that forgiveness is something that you and I need to do. Forgive yourself. You see, here's the problem. There are a lot of people laboring under this knowledge. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I did wrong. I asked the Lord to forgive me, but I don't deserve it. But how many of you know that if you ask the Lord to forgive you, what does the Lord do? Does he look down there and say, you again? Or, you got to wait a while. I'm not handing that out today. Besides that, you did pretty bad. You just go sit in the waiting room. You know, God never responds like that. The Bible says that if we forgive, ask for forgiveness, He is faithful and just to forgive. Isn't that right? And so, I want to tell you this. The issue is not in a situation where you've been wronged. The issue is not whether the other person deserves forgiveness or not. Forgiveness is something you do for your own good. You turn them over to the Lord. Now, don't do like one person did. He said, I turn him over to the Lord. And he said, I pray. He said, man, he said, I pray for God to judge him and put, and for God to bring forth some things in their life and let them know that the bad, you know, they're just going to get some bad things, Brother Marvin, because I prayed. I turned them over to the Lord and I forgave, but there's some bad things coming into their life. My friend, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what God asked us to do. We'll see close to the end of the message today. Hopefully we'll get there and we will be able to see how to do that. But you see, forgiveness frees us from what has happened in the past. It frees us to receive from God. It enables our faith to work. It allows us to experience healing. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Let me say it this way. I said it this way. I'll relate it to you the way the Lord told me. He said forgiveness is the Teflon coating that keeps others wrong from sticking to you and becoming your wrong. Forgiveness is the Teflon coating that keeps others' wrongs from sticking to you and becoming your wrong. I want to tell you something. Forgiveness is a thing that when the wrong comes, and I'm going to tell you, let me predict something. Wrongs will come. But when they do, forgiveness lets it fly off of us. Makes it where there are none effect to us. No, I forgive. And a lot of people think they're walking in forgiveness, but mentally they've piled up a lot of things. And then mentally they think of things, I've forgiven. But they're resentful anytime they see the person. Or if their name comes up, you know, well, let me tell you about them. Or there's just they just store it. Here's the thing that I find is that some people store it. They don't deal with it. They just store it. Somebody cuts them off in traffic, almost causes a wreck, and you get angry, and you don't do anything. You just store the incident, and you store what happened. And next time somebody comes along and does the next thing, you pile that in too. You don't say, Lord, I forgive them. You don't deal with things. And so sometimes we have things piled up that we really don't even know, aren't aware of. We need to let these things go. We need to forgive. 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 there's a funny thing, because you see, traffic has always been a weak point of mine. I like to make my way through traffic rapidly. And then when somebody does something, when I became a Christian, it was a challenge for me. There were a lot of other things that smoothed out. I mean, just smoothed out. But I want to tell you, when somebody did something to me in traffic, man, I'm telling you, out of nowhere came this man that used to be. And I'd say words that I had to repent. I would shake my fist or do something, whatever I felt was deserving. And I had to realize then, at one point in my life, I had to go back and say, I forgive everybody who did something wrong to me in traffic. I don't want that stored up. And I found out this, that if I get ticked, if the devil can bring somebody across my path in driving, and it really ticks me off and gets me all out of the spirit, and gets this carnal thing all manifested, and so you go on down the road, you get past it, the car's not hurt, nothing's wrong, you go down the road, you store it, let me tell you what happens. The devil's going to send another one. He said, how come I've got an epidemic of people messing with me in traffic? Well, guess what the open door is? The unforgiveness. Now, maybe traffic is not a problem for you, but you know what I'm talking about. Some things are just easier for you to handle than others. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and says, is he talking about you or is he talking about me? Something else that we need to do in the area of forgiveness is to forgive God. Don't blame God. Don't get mad at God. Don't get upset with God if the plan that he's spoken to your heart hasn't come to pass like you wanted it to. Don't get upset with him and blame him. Say, well, you know God. He just doesn't move like I want him to. He said he would, but. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to realize that. Don't blame God. No, I forgive you. I, any perception I have of you doing wrong, God, forgive me, Lord, for even having it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's never his fault. Isn't that right? So we not only need to give forgiveness, but we need to receive it. I remember this morning Pastor Craig talking about every day he talks about hearing his parents tell him he loved them, that they loved him. And some parents just didn't know how important that was. I'm glad his did. I didn't hear that until I was over 40 years old, because my parents didn't know. They weren't taught. It's just not one of the things they did. But the first day that I heard it, I can guarantee you I lost it, because you see, we hadn't always gotten along. We do now have great times together. But I want to tell you that 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me just tell you this. There may be some people that don't think they need that verse. But let me tell you something, I do. And I don't know how many of you need it. Know that you need this verse, but I suspect all of you know that you need this verse. You take this verse away, and the alternative is not so great. You understand what I mean? And so we may have some theory that sounds good, but in practice, I need 1 John 1:9. Isn't that right? 1 John 1:9 is needed, necessary in my life. Let me give you my third point, and then we'll wrap this up. Jesus used the power of forgiveness to get beyond the cross. He hung on a cross, Luke 22:34, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They do not know what they do. It's hard to believe that the people that pounded the nails in, and the people that beat him, and the people that put the crowns of thorns on him, and mocked him, and spit on him, and did all those things, it's hard to believe that they didn't know what they were doing. But Jesus said they didn't know what they were doing, and he said, "I forgive them." And by doing so, he was able to get beyond the cross. Paint the picture. What if Jesus hung on the cross, gritting his teeth and saying, "There you are, the nerve of you to stand here when after what you've done to me. You know I'm dying. You're just gloating." Redemption would not have been carried out. But Jesus forgave. How many of you are glad that Jesus forgave? He did it for his own benefit as well as for others. Forgiveness enabled him to endure that cross, stay focused on what God wanted him to do, the plan of redemption for mankind. Not only did he want to forgive, but he wanted mankind to be able to forgive and to be forgiven. And so Jesus forgave. Jesus told, here's my point, the value of looking at Jesus. Jesus told us to forgive, and then he showed us how to do it. I like to say it this way. Forgiveness helps you to get past Satan's offense and win the battle. Forgiveness helps you to get past Satan's offense and win the battle of life. And so we need to realize that. Sometimes we find ourselves facing the need of forgiveness but not really wanting to, because we feel like the other person doesn't need it. It doesn't deserve it. I've been there. And in those times, I ask the Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to see the need to forgive. You know you ought to, but you really don't want to. And so we need to recognize it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, last scripture. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." And I want to tell you this. Here is Jesus' instructions on how to get beyond the wrongs that somebody does to you. Number one, you love and forgive them. You love and forgive them. You do that. It's a gift you give to yourself and to them. It's not whether they deserve it. You do that. First thing, love and forgive. Number two, it goes further and it says, bless those. Bless those who curse you. Bless them. Not only forgive, but start blessing them. How many times have you heard a person say, "Well, I've forgiven him, but bless God, I'll tell you what." And then you kind of get the idea they're just waiting for the demise of the person they forgave. I'm just telling you, I'm waiting. No, my friend, listen to me. Bless them. Why? It'll help you emotionally to bless somebody. Bless them. "I bless the people that did me wrong." You say, "Well, that's not right. They don't deserve it." No, my friend, listen to me. If for no other reason, bless them for your own sake, to help you. Number three, do good to them. You mean how to do something good for them? They just cut me off in traffic. No, let them go. Let them have first place. Do something good in return. Don't return evil for evil, but do something good when somebody does something evil. And then number four, pray for them. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Instead of cursing them and storing it in your mind and saying, "I'm going to remember that." No, my friend, listen to me. pray for them. Believe God for them. Pray for them as if they had a physical need. If they had a physical need, you'd pray for them, wouldn't you? Pray for them because they have a spiritual need. Isn't that right? Here, a story that I heard recently was that a lady was known to being so careful to forgive. Just would not speak bad of somebody. And in an interview, somebody asked her, "Do you remember when so-and-so did this to you?" She was quiet just a moment, and then she said, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." And you have to realize sometimes you have to distinctly remember forgetting that. Isn't that right? And so one last thing I want to do before we... I'd like for you to, for those of you that this has been a challenge tonight, and you're kind of confronted by some of these things, and you say, "You know, I need to forgive." I'm not asking you to come up front, but I am asking you to do something simple that'll help you. I'd like for you to get a piece of paper, and on one side, write your name. And on the other side, write the thing that you need to forgive or the person that you need to forgive. And when you get that done, I want you to just, it doesn't matter. You're doing it for yourself. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. But now here's what you need to do. Once you've got that done, you take that piece of paper and write through the middle and say, "I forgive. I've separated myself from that. That can no longer control me. That I am free from that in Jesus' name. I am now free. I'm able to move on in my life. I'm now able to receive. I bless them. I'm able to be emotionally better than I was before." And you know, when you do something simple like that, I'll tell you the truth about it. There is a feeling of God moving in your life like never before. And you see, it's like being ready to run the race now. Now I can run the race. Amen. I don't have to do it with some big old, run the race with the big old work boots on, you know, or something weights that weigh me down. You know, I'm free to run. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me tonight. I know this is not a shouting message. I didn't hear one person tonight shout amen. But you know, how many of you know this is a necessary thing because you need this so that you can move forward in God's plan for your life. And if you're a person who's really doesn't have a problem with this and you say, "I forgive and I don't have anything, Brother Marvin," that is great. So then this information is great for you because you can use this to share with somebody who needs it. Amen? And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Right where you are. Just want to take a moment and say, "Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. That as I forgive, you forgive me. Thank you, Father. I forgive and I thank you that I receive forgiveness in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. We receive that in Jesus' name. No hindrances, no more barriers, no more bridges so that the past can catch up with us. Past is gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have some people that are coming that are going to be able to pray with you. They're here coming forward, prayer workers. They are ministers. They are ready to pray with you and in whatever area that you have a need of, so you can avail yourself of that. And for those of you who are here for the very first time at Rhema Bible Church, the connection team is moving out and connecting with you. And so being able to take you to that, receive that gift that's been prepared for you. And so you want to receive that gift. It's really nice. It is not just a little bit of something, but it's a really nice gift. And it's our way of saying thank you for coming to Rhema Bible Church tonight. So we thank you for coming tonight. Anything else? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you shake hands with somebody and tell them it's good to be forgiven. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for being here tonight. God bless you.